Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. After Jesus' birth in Bethlehem of Judea during the reign of King Herod, astrologers from the east arrived one day in Jerusalem inquiring, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." At this news, King Herod became greatly disturbed, and with him all of Jerusalem. Summoning all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they informed him, "and here is what the prophet has written. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the princes of Judah, since from you shall come one who is to shepherd my people Israel." Herod called the astrologers aside and found out from them the exact time of the star's appearance. And then he sent them to Bethlehem after having instructed them, "Go and get detailed information about the child, and when you have discovered something, report your findings to me, that I too may go and offer him homage." After their audience with King Herod, they set out, and the star, which they had observed at its rising, went ahead of them until it came to a standstill over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they found the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their coffers and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They received a message in a dream not to return to Herod, and so they went back to their own country by another route. The Gospel of the Lord. Glad you were able to make it this morning. Even though we didn't have it, all the places available for you to park, it's good for us to be here. Yesterday I was in Leland for a funeral, and I got a call from Kevin just before the funeral telling me that it was covered in ice out here. And then after the funeral, Pat Scanlon called me and wondered how we're going to get people in last night and again this morning. But thank you, it all has worked. I was thinking, you know, that we might have a small crowd last night or this morning, but hey, we've done very well. And it reminded me of the story of this priest who was in a country parish, and a winter storm came through one time, and the priest came to say Mass, but only one person turned up for Mass. And he sat up in the front row. He was a farmer. He was known to the priest. And the priest celebrated Mass. And he read all three readings and the responsorial psalm. And then he preached the full homily. And the guy's eyes were just opening wide, thinking, hey, you could let up a little. So priest said to him afterwards, "How do you feel about that, Paddy?" He said, "Father, that was fine, but," he said, "you didn't have to give me the full load, you know, so you could have just taken it easy." And the priest said, "Well," he said, "you're a farmer," he said, "you'd understand this," he said, "when, you know, it's winter and the snow is there, and sometimes, you know, you go out to feed the cattle, you feed them every day, right?" He said, "Yes, every day." And he said, "when you go and you drive up in your tractor and you bring them the feed," he said, "if just one turns up, you give them the full load, right?" He said, "Well, yeah, that's true." So I thought, well, you don't have to cut it short. That was the good news. I knew you wouldn't want me to cut it short. As we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany, the message is pretty short, really. The Epiphany, it means to manifest or to show fully. Literally, from the Greek word, it means to roll back the veil. And the Epiphany is the celebration of rolling back the veil on the mystery that we celebrate and proclaim at Christmas time, the mystery of the incarnation, that our God chose to become one like us in all things but sin. And we draw back the veil on that by letting everybody know this is a mystery for all of the nations, that our God became one with us. It is a proclamation that Christ is the Savior, not just of the Jews, but of the Gentiles as well. That's pretty significant. It is God's will that all people should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. All people, not some, all. And this is the theological meaning of the feast. God invites all, Jew and Gentile alike, to share on an equal footing the benefits of salvation that are brought about by Christ. And that's pretty important, because we grow up and we seem to like the divisions, you know, and this is our faith and this is the other person's and this is the next one. And what Jesus is doing, his presence in the world is a proclamation. There are no divisions. It's a fundamental belief that we profess. We will stand up in a few minutes and the first thing we will say is, I believe in one God. Well, if there's only one God, then he is the God of all people. Not just some of them, not just these ones, and not just the ones who name him in the Christian manner or the Christian fashion. But if there's only one God, he is God of all. And that is important for us. In the Old Testament experience, the Jews are portrayed as the chosen people of God. One of the difficulties with it was it denoted or seemed to indicate that then other people were second class. The one thing that we come to know in the gospel of Jesus Christ is nobody is second class in the mind and heart of God. Perhaps in our ways and in our world, because sometimes it's the only way we know how to navigate, that we're higher and they're lower, or all of these divisions that we make. The celebration of the Feast of the Epiphany is there are no divisions. Jesus did away. He put aside every kind of exclusivism by his birth. And when he is shown to the rest of the world, the Magi, who were three Gentiles representing the outside world, hearing the good news and experiencing the Christ, it's an invitation to all to have a personal relationship with him who is the Savior. It's very important for us to realize that fact, that if there is only one God, then everybody belongs to him. No matter what we feel about them, no matter what we choose to say or think or anything else, if there's only one and we profess that truthfully, hard to believe that in our world. Very hard to believe that. But it is true. If we stand up and profess it and proclaim it, that there is one God only, then he is the same God who sees after the whole and total of his creation. Feast of the Epiphany tore down the barriers between Jew and Gentile. St. Paul in the second reading puts it very clearly, saying up to this particular point, that was not clear, but now it is very clear with the advent of the Christ that there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. It's interesting that in his ministry, Jesus' ministry, he started it off among his own people, and the gospel was to be proclaimed to them, and he even said that to the disciples. But then he began to move away from that himself, to stretch their minds and their thoughts that he was here for all of God's people. When he began to minister to the Samaritans and the Canaanites and to foreigners, it disturbed many of the religious leadership. That's why he was heading toward death. They did not like the idea of him extending that same goodness and kindness to others. But it was very clear that it was an integral part of his ministry. And the news that the Gentiles would be accepted on the same terms, same footing as themselves, was certainly a cause of bewilderment to the people of Israel, to the Jews. In his final commissioning, it's very clear the intention of Jesus when he gathers his disciples as he prepares to depart this world and he gives them the final commission. He says, go forth and teach all nations, not some of them, all nations, and then baptize them and instruct them in the good news and teach them everything that I have taught you. Today celebrates the fact that there is one God and there is one people. Other sheep, as Jesus said, that we do not know and understand, but all a part of him.